Well, thank you, Bethany, and the music group as well for playing that to us. It just sets the scene for us to think about this wonderful gift that God has given to us. And we'll think about that just for a few minutes. You've got a booklet on your seats. And this booklet, I know it's Christmas morning and we're not in any mood to listen to a big, long sermon, so I'm going to give you one anyway. Nah. The booklet is basically what I'm going to say, because I know it's hard to take things in on a Christmas morning. So I'm simply going to tell you what's in the booklet, and then take the booklet home afterwards and read it sometime this year, if you like. It's yours. It says on the front it's a gift, and it is a gift, but it's a gift that tells us about something really tremendous, really tremendous. We've already had gifts today, and we've seen some of them. And it's going to be great fun throughout the day, I'm sure. And you've received gifts already, and it's amazing that we receive such things. But here is the greatest gift ever. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is an amazing gift. Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift is bundled together. It's eternal life, but not on its own. It's eternal life in Christ Jesus. So if you have Christ Jesus, you have eternal life. Jesus once said, "This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So once you receive Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life. And whatever gifts you get today, and you might get very expensive gifts, very interesting, very exciting gifts, very novel gifts. But whatever you get, none will be better than this. Eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is an amazing gift. Now, this booklet tells us three things about that gift, very briefly. First of all, it tells us who the gift is from. You'll find that on pages 5 to 11. Who the gift is from. It's always moving when you receive a gift. But there are some people we expect gifts from. Family, friends, cat, dog, guinea pig. You expect gifts from various people. Sometimes, though, we're surprised when we get a gift from someone. And we say, "They gave me a gift. He gave me a gift. Yikes, I didn't give them a gift. But they gave me a gift," and that's surprising. But there are other people in the world that you would just never expect to get a gift from. I mean, you would never, ever expect to get a gift from the Queen. That way round, yes, okay. She was an Australian visit then. You would never expect to get a gift from the Queen, Cheryl Cole, or anyone like that. You would think, what do they know about me? Why would they give me a gift? And there are some people that you think are so high and so exalted and so out there somewhere, far removed from you and from me, that they wouldn't even know your name or address or mobile number. They would just not know about you. So if you got a gift from them, you'd be amazed. Well, think about this from God. God is so great and mighty, but he has given us a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It says there that God gave. Now, for some people, this is so remote. They would never think of God as a giving God. They might think of a God, I don't even believe in a God, but if you believe in a God, you might think of a God far out there somewhere, far removed from you. Or maybe a God who started up the world and just left it, like a referee blowing the whistle to start the match, then off he goes, taking no more interest in it. And maybe that's your view of God, just someone who started things up but is no longer interested. But what Christmas says is that God not only created the world, but he's still interested in the world. He is interested in people like you and me. One day, the Apostle Paul went to a place called Athens in Greece. At that time in the first century, Athens was like the seat of philosophy. And the Apostle Paul got up there in the place called the Areopagus, which is where all the philosophers gathered. And the Apostle Paul said to them that God is not far from each one of us. He's near us. And God has a special interest in the creation that he has made, so interested that he will come and redeem that creation. And it's not that God is a pushover in any sense. No, God is almighty, and God is the creator, and God is eternal, and God is holy. He is light, and he is without sin. He is awesome, and he is majestic, and he is all-powerful. The Bible is not the story of a wimpy God. No, you've got this almighty God who is yet interested in people, a personal interest. God gave. So where did the gift come from? It comes from God Almighty, who is interested in us personally. Second question the booklet asks and answers is this: what does the gift do? And this is on pages 12 to 24, and it's by far the biggest part of the booklet. What does the gift do? Gifts do different things. I had a wonderful gift this morning. It was a book full of Tommy Cooper jokes. My family are going to be so bored by the end of the day. I've memorized some already. You're going to have a great time next year. But gifts do all kinds of different things. Some gifts smell. Some gifts smell good. Some gifts make you look good. Some feel good. Some keep you warm. Some you can play with. Some you can have fun with. Some inform you. Some you can read. Some you can watch. Some you can eat. But what does God's gift do? God has given us a gift. What is it? Well, we read it in Matthew chapter 1. Mary will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is what God's gift does. This is how Jesus functions. This is what he does for us. He saves us from our sins. So he is the Savior. So don't think of Jesus simply as a great prophet or a religious leader. Don't think of him only as a great example. Think of him as a Savior. In the scriptures, we don't read about Jesus, our Lord and example, nor do we read about him as our Lord and teacher, but we read about him as our Lord and Savior, for he came to save us. From what? Well, as the text says, because he will save his people from their sins. Sins. It's Christmas morning. We don't want to think about sin. Three things sin is. It's twisting God's good gifts so that we use them selfishly. It's transgressing God's laws so that we step over the line and go too far. And it's target missing, falling short of God's standards of loving, giving, mercy and kindness. It's all those three things, twisting, transgression and target missing. That's sin. And each one of us has done that. But who cares? Really? Who cares if I sin or if you sin? At least two kinds of people. God cares, because God made you, and God loves you. And God has laid down for you and for me a fantastic way of living. And if we don't live that way, he cares about it. Just as a parent who tells their children this is the best way to live, and if the child ignores it, the parent cares. So God cares about our sin. And though we wouldn't admit it, we care about each other's sins as well. Why? Because sin messes things up. Sin is the reason for so much unhappiness, trouble, violence, pain, suffering, anguish, loneliness, and hurt. And we care about that. For sin is the blood clot in the human race that causes all kinds of problems. Sin always causes problems and misery and suffering. So we care about sin, and God cares about sin, but God cares so much that he'll do something about it. He sent his son. This is what Jesus does. He saves us from our sins. Third and final question then, again from the booklet, page 26 to the end. How much did this gift cost? If God gave his son, and if his son is our savior to save us from our sins, what did it cost, God? What did it cost Jesus? Well, you cannot measure this on any human scale whatsoever. It costs Jesus everything to save us from our sins, in his birth, in his life, and in his death. He left his riches of heaven for poverty on earth. That was his birth. He left the company of angels for the company of sinful people. That was his life. And he died on a cross of pain and shame and agony, and that was his death. In other words, he gave up everything to save you. Now, you may have never heard anything like that before, and you might think, that is just too good to be true. Let me tell you, it's well documented in the scriptures. This is what Jesus has done for you. Not because you and I deserve it, but because of his love and of his grace. And like most presents, indeed, perhaps every present, it costs the receiver nothing. But it costs the giver a lot. And God loved you so much that he gave Jesus to die on a cross that you might be saved. So that that twisted life that you might live can be straightened out. The transgressions that you and I have committed can be blotted out. And the target missing that we do every day of every year can be amended. And we can hit the bullseye with Jesus as our Savior. The gift of salvation is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all you simply need to do is to receive it. The prophet Isaiah said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And that's what God will do for you and me this morning, abundantly pardon all our sins. That's the Christmas message. That's why it's such good news of great joy. Well, let's stand to celebrate as we sing that message. O come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come now to Bethlehem.